Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pellerino. Rest in peace, my friend. Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my sweetie referee, Dave Keener.
Hello. Yeah, we do this whole banter thing in the beginning of this blah, 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 blah show, whatever, but I'm still nostalgic of what happened to me last night.
I really don't care what happened to you last night.
I do.
I don't.
It was cool. You know who else wouldn't care about what happened to you last night? Our guest.
Oh, you want to jump right to that and say our guest?
Why not?
Oh,
you want to tell us who the guest is?
You don't want to talk about Monster Factory first.
I do. You don't want me to talk about it. I mean, I had fun.
You can say something nice about it.
I had a lot of fun refereeing and working in that ring for the Monster Factory last night. One match in particular I kind of enjoyed was a triple threat match with our guest, Matt Vertigo.
Hello, Matt.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, doing good, my friend. Doing good. So, we haven't seen each other since...
Last night?
Yeah, since last night, but that doesn't count. Before that, I think that was... Was it, like, basketball?
Basketball, yeah.
I think it was basketball, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
And, I mean, from what I'm hearing, part two, soon to come.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, I sure hope so. I need my revenge.
Yeah. I was telling Shane we should do something else, like kickball or dodgeball or wiffle ball. Or like even if... I know a lot of people that listen to us are young and they might not remember this, but MTV had this thing back in the 90s called the... what was it? The Rock and Jock Softball Challenge or something like that?
The Rock and Jock Softball Challenge?
Yeah.
There was a basketball one too.
Right. Why couldn't we do that? Be like local radio celebrities and stuff like that and have them play a game with wrestlers.
So I'm thinking like a six-man team. Everybody picks six people. Dodgeball tournament.
Something like that.
Like,
right.
Like if you can't dodge a wrench, you can't play with my
ball,
team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
No, dodgeball.
But I mean, something like that.
Like a sick idea.
Dude, like every podcaster can pick which wrestlers. And oh my gosh, that'd be fun.
Dodgeball.
See me. I like the idea of basketball and other sports, but let's get like, you know, it would be fun. Let's get a bunch of wrestlers to just like take over a Dave and Buster's, and whoever gets the most tickets wins.
I'm in for skee ball. I am in for skee ball. I got skee ball. But y'all gotta do it walking in gimmick.
We're in gear. 100%. We're in gear.
And it has to be filmed and put on YouTube while they're playing the games in gimmick.
Yeah, that's epic. I would love to do that.
We should do a skee ball.
You have to argue with the scoreboard and everything.
We should get a Dave Buster's do a skee ball episode on our 2300.
I am down.
Yeah.
And you know who would be good for that? I'm not disrespecting Matt, but Violence.
That would be funny.
I think Violence would be funny for that. Yes.
That would be jokes.
But right there, he'll be kicked out because he's wearing a mask in the world of today.
No, but he wouldn't walk in.
Nah, he wouldn't be kicked out. He would be like given like a crown.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It would be funny.
Oh, you have your mask? Oh, you have like an actual full mask? Oh, yeah. Here's a thousand.
Right. I think it would be funny.
So, before we ask all these questions, Earl, that was awesome watching the basketball brawl and enjoying, but they put you on the face team.
Yeah.
I can't explain that. I just rolled punches, bro.
You're like, wait, why can't... You could have did a turn and just turn on your team.
It
would have
been funny. The other thing I liked was, so the heels team were having that little thing, and if you guys ever seen the movie The Replacements, after the guy puked, and they're like, everybody moved 2 inches to the left.
Yeah.
They did that on the court.
Yeah, they did.
And nobody noticed it.
Somebody threw up on the court?
No, they did that part from that movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because somebody went to talk to them, and they're like, all right, 2 inches to the left. And they all huddled 2 inches to the left.
That was a great film.
It was funny. But I enjoyed it. I had fun. I can't wait. Shane Fair, let us know you're doing it again. We will be there.
Yes, we will donate stuff too.
Yeah, Shane Fair. You gotta get on it, man. Everybody's excited for this.
Oh, yeah. So let's get this show started.
Quickly.
Yes. So there's wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans that come on listen to our show, and they want to know who you are and what your background and training, who
for
trained
a minute
you
there,
are.
I thought you were going to ask me who he was and what does his daddy do.
Yeah, no. I started my training in 2009. I started at Ace Pro Wrestling, getting trained with Mike Morgan. He really installed a lot of smart, intelligent like wrestling in me. Really thinking about character more than moves, that sort of thing. And then TJ Marconi. I started training with TJ Marconi. A bunch of us were training, actually, including us. Sonny Kiss trained with him for a long time. Mike Orlando was another good guy that helped me a lot. Eric Corvis, Arcadia, a lot of those guys really helped instill basic wrestling knowledge and advanced wrestling knowledge into me at a young age. And just surrounding myself with the right people. I went to a lot of seminars when I was young, including going to seminars with the Maximos there, Jay Lethal, and just talking. You know, a lot of guys show up to seminars or show up to training and they just listen and follow. But I'm the one that's going to step out and ask questions. And I think that that is really important. Young guys need to ask more questions.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
I did a seminar with C.W. Anderson at the factory, and the numerous questions that were asked by all the wrestlers that were there. It was at C.W. Anderson, and I asked a few myself. I thought it was really cool. I actually had lunch with him before that, or after that, because we did ECWA that night. And it was just, to pick his mind at lunch was really cool, because I do believe it was me, Missy Sampson, my brother, Bobby Shields, and C.W.
Bobby Shields.
Yeah. So it was a fun time.
Yeah,
yeah, it's always a good time when you get to pick a professional's brain, and that's in any industry, really. When you get to sit down and really ask some really smart questions and pick their brain, you know, you learn a lot more that way than just watching, you know?
Right.
It's like talking to podcasters and seeing what they do and what I shouldn't do, because I don't want to be like them. I want to be different.
Yeah, we're like Correct. The middleman. We're trying to get people over.
Yeah, we want to help you guys
right.
get it. You know
what I mean? That was my whole intention for last night, was just to come there and help get you guys over and stuff like that. I didn't know I was rapping until I got there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Mike said, you got your stuff.
Sometimes it happens that way. Right. You gotta go into a show and just roll with the punches.
Yeah, I'm always told, even if you're not on the show, if you're hanging out, always have your stuff with you.
100%. That is rule number one.
Right.
I do carry my equipment, you know, but sometimes I don't bring all my equipment to shows because I can do my YouTube stuff.
Right.
And I'm planning on doing my YouTube shows more at wrestling shows. I don't want to bring my gear. I'll bring my computer to just edit. But yeah, we started doing Connect Four, and wrestlers were getting into it, and I had fun with dropping little.
Yeah, unless you're Smiley, who tried to eat them.
Yeah, Smiley tried to eat them. I told him
that. Well, that's understandable. I mean, Smiley and Tarzan Duran, I'm sure, would just eat.
Yeah.
Eat anything.
I mean, did Tarzan try to eat them too?
No, Tarzan took my hat instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he left his hat at a show and I forgot it last night.
Yeah, we told him. We told you. How many times? So, what was the best advice you ever been given?
The best advice that someone has ever given me, to be honest, is slow down and take in the moment. Yeah. That moments are very, very important. And when you rush through them, then the moment gets ruined, or it evolves into something completely different. One wrestler that made it make more sense than anything is Randy Orton, who just celebrated his 20 years in the business this past Monday. But there was a YouTube video that was out, probably dropped last week, and Randy Orton was talking about, you know, moments that he had. And one of the best moments that he had was when he was in a match with John Cena for the unification of the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship in the ladder match. And he said that when he went up the ladder, after John Cena fell through the table and he went up that ladder, he took so much time. And it was just, he said that it felt completely different, unlike any other moment, because the anticipation just built and you could just feel it, the rumbling, that even though Randy Orton was taking his time, there was nothing John Cena could do. So why rush? Just take your time. And he said that it was just, that moment was unlike any other moment that he's had. And that says something. You right. know, look at all the moments that Randy Orton has had. Man has wrestled The Undertaker at WrestleMania. The man is one of the youngest world champions in history. Like, he's had so many moments.
21. When he won the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's had so many moments, but that one is the one that stood still because he took so much time. Like, I think that that's really important. Slowing down and just living in the moment. And even when you watch, I mentioned another WWE, but Roman Reigns, if you watch him from at 2015 and before, like, he always seems to be in a rush. And you watch him now, he's completely different. He takes his time coming to the ring. He takes his time speaking on the mic. He takes his time when he's in the ring. And it changes everything. Taking your time evolves you.
If you go back and watch him when he was doing Leaki in FCW, like, a lot, he was faster then to now. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, he was running through stuff. He right. was flying through stuff. Even in the Shield, he was flying through stuff. Now it's like, I'm going to take my time, walk, step, look. Look at the camera. Look at this. Look at the kid. Then I'll go for a move. Like, he's completely evolved himself. And a part of that is because, like I said, he's taking his time. So I think that that is very important, especially in your charisma. The more charismatic you are, you do that too. Look at Jade Cargill. We'll mention Jade Cargill from AEW. She takes so much time doing things that everything she does means more because of all that time she takes. I love it. I love seeing stuff like that.
I was always told, breathe. That was my yes. best advice given to me was breathe. You go out there, you do it, just breathe. Take your time and breathe. That's it.
100%. That's great advice. It's such good advice because right. guys also run through stuff and they get tired very easily. Like, you know, get your cardio up, guys. That's another big piece of advice. Yeah, please right. go for a run and get your cardio up because this is a cardio heavy sport, like very cardio heavy. You can't be getting blown in 5 minutes. And if you are, then that's your sign to slow it down.
I get to the shows, I introduce myself, I do all that, and then I run the ropes. Do all that, get my cardio in. I think I'm one of the only refs, I think there's maybe two or three other refs in the area that actually work out and get stuff done. I know Ryan Turok always
That's exactly what out. I was about to say. I was about to shout out Ryan T right there because he puts in so much work and effort into getting his body right. Like, yeah, I gotta shout out Ryan T, man.
Ryan T's always doing stuff. I'm always working. I mean, if you're in there, you're moving around and you're flying around and you're reffing matches like with you or Smiley or Tarzan or one of them, you gotta be having your cardio up and being able to move more.
100%.
My advice I've been given was less is more by my hero, Mr. Ulala.
Ulala.
Ooh la la. Love that dude.
or don't be 12.
And don't be 12.
Yeah. Corey Kessler.
So I'm gonna do this question right here. Now. I don't wanna do it last. Three matches. Okay. We want your three all-time favorite
you
matches.
Do this now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your three favorite matches of all time. And then your matches, your top three matches that you did that I want to
see. Ah, okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. Three favorite matches of all time. Well, first I'm gonna go with recent. Yeah. We're gonna go in a timeline. We'll go with recent. My favorite recent match definitely I think it is the Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros Steel Cage. That match was pretty crazy. I watched that match probably like 10 times already.
Okay.
And I can't get enough of it. It's definitely, in my opinion, one of the best cage matches I've ever seen. All right. So now we'll go back a little bit further. Let's go with, I know it's a cliche and a lot of people are probably going to mention it, but you got to put Undertaker Shawn Michaels 1 in there. That match at WrestleMania blew my mind. It blew everyone's mind. And I think that that's an all-time classic.
It's up there.
It really is. That's definitely one of the best matches I've ever seen. And then we'll take a step back further. We'll go further back in time. And I got to go to the first. It wasn't the first. I got to phrase that. It wasn't the first. But it was like the first, in my opinion, big ladder match that caught everyone's attention. And that was Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels.
WrestleMania
10. Dude, that match was so innovative. It changed the game it changed everything. A lot of people would say, like, I would put TLC 1 up there too. There's another match that changed everything, but that ladder match, there's just something special about that ladder match no matter how many times you watch it, it's like you see something new every time. Like, it changed. I don't understand that match. Is crazy. Those are my three favorites for sure.
That's first, awesome. Our first episode this year, Tony DeVito talked about WrestleMania 10 because his gimmick was being one of the doinks, and he was sitting in the hotel room, Razor and Shawn talking out that match. He was listening, and he had so much fun sitting in the room with them. So that's kind of a cool story he told us.
Tony had hair then.
Tony had hair then. Okay. Three matches that you enjoyed yourself that you were in.
We'll start with three. Is definitely myself and Eric Corvus street fight at UWA Elite last year. That match means a lot to me because one, we went into that match saying like it's a street fight. We're just gonna do a bunch of crazy random shit, and it was fun. It was definitely like, you know, a lot of wrestlers have an issue, in my opinion, with like not planning certain things.
Yeah,
like, you know, they wanna have have an idea of what certain things are going to do going in. And Eric and I said, look, Eric came to me and said, look, you know me, I know you. We have a bunch of cool random stuff around the ring. We got this, that. Let's just go out there and have fun. And it turned out to be one of the best matches I had all year. So I got to put that up there. Thank you, Eric, for that advice. And thank you for being a mentor to me for that. That was really cool.
That is cool.
Okay. I got to put myself in Arcadia. I love Arcadia is another role model for me and always has been. And every single time I've stepped in the ring with him, it's always been magic. But we had one match for the UWA Elite Championship. And I got to say, even to today, that was one of my best singles on non-gimmick matches, just one-on-one, title on the line. You know, it was a big moment. I didn't come on top, but the match was fire and I had a wonderful time wrestling him. I can't wait to have another who's who moment with him. He knows what's up. Hopefully I see him over there in JCW. Hopefully I can make my way there and we can settle the score. You know, hint, hint.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. For sure. Let's see. Number one favorite match all time. I'm stuck between like a few, and this one is tough. How about I save the since you said this was your last question? How about I save the number one for the end? We'll let the listeners build a little bit of anticipation for that number one spot.
Okay,
but wait, there's more.
Oh.
So you had mentioned Razor and Shawn, so that leads me into this question. I love.
Oh wait, he didn't finish his.
He said he was going to do it at the end.
Oh, at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I said, but wait, there's more.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Will there? It's like the question. If you remember watching the old Batman TV show.
Gotcha.
Will he answer the question at the end? We'll find out.
Exactly.
At the end.
Exactly.
Right. Now I'm waiting for this. Okay.
So you were talking about Razor and Shawn, one of my all-time favorite matches, and the build-up for that match was so awesome.
So
that leads up to my question of how did we get there? I feel like wrestling is just doing matches to do matches lately. There's no build up. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about matches that have no build?
Right. Like, I'm an old school guy. I like the old build up. Like, the 6 months, 10 matches, and we lead up to a ladder match or a steel cage or something like that. I feel that they're just doing the matches to do the matches. There's no build up. Like, why are we doing a ladder match? Like, I want build up.
Okay, that's fair. Me personally, I think that it kind of just depends on the match itself. I think that the gimmick should never overlap the wrestlers within the gimmick. You know, I feel like the wrestlers and the wrestling is more important than the gimmick itself. So if you have two guys that you've been wanting to see wrestle each other for a while, and now they finally are getting this match, and there's no build necessarily. It's just personal. You know, sometimes wrestling is personal. Sometimes it's not, you know, everyone is going to understand it. Sometimes it's like my favorite guys is Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and when they get into a match, I want to see that. And, you know, there's no necessary build that has to come from it. Obviously, there's a story between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, so that was like a really, really shitty example. But my point is that it's still a sport, and if you watch basketball, you watch hockey, you watch football, not every single game is going to matter in the sense of a story or some type of build. But then there are those games that are like, oh, like for me, I'm a Knicks fan. So whenever the Knicks play right now, it's the Hawks. There's a story involved with Trae Young. And, you know, if you know basketball, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a story. So the game means more. So you're right in the sense of where there's a story involved, it's going to mean more because that's right for anything, even professional, even a regular professional sport. You know, it means everything. You have a story, but if everything has a story, then stories are going to mean less. Yeah. But you do need to have those matches that don't have a story, that are just highlights, that are just high spots, that are just crazy matches. And then when those matches that do have a story come in, it hits different. You know, wrestling shows are a roller coaster. Not everything could be going straight up.
So it's like just for the hell of it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to have a match for the hell of it.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to.
And you were talking sports stuff like that. I understand that because I work for the Phillies. And I definitely understand, like, the closer you get to the World Series, the Stanley Cup, the...
Sixers beating Toronto.
What's the big trophy in basketball? I don't watch basketball that
what?
Much.
What? Finals.
The finals. So when you get to all that, that's when the story...
Finals. No cool names, just the finals.
Just the finals.
Okay.
I always hated that, though. Like, yeah. Everything has, like, a
Stanley Cup, the World Series, or the...
Yeah, finals.
Finals.
Just the finals.
It's the NBA finals.
The the NBA Finals. No, but when you get to that, like the Final Four and all that, that's when it matters. And you know what I mean? Like yeah, we're maybe three. Right, we're like 3 weeks into baseball season, and okay, they're in first place right now. But come August, that's when all the tension starts and everything.
Yes, that's when baseball gets right. fun, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my God, who's gonna get the wild card? Oh my God, like you know, there's just so much anticipation. There's so many questions going on towards the end of the season, and that's what it really matters. Is that towards the end of the season, even that last like 20 games before the season's over, there's just so much going on. The middle of the season is usually kind of like a dead zone. Like, okay, we're watching baseball, we're watching football, we'll watch whatever to watch it because we enjoy it. Right. And that's just a regular match, a regular random one-on-one, you know? But then now all of a sudden there's a title involved, and now all of a sudden there's other wrestlers involved, and now, you know, this now there's so much more going on. And throughout the season, also you have to understand in regular sports too, is that injuries happen, and that changes things. Or someone might, you know, in baseball, someone might get hit by a pitch, and now both of these teams are in a blood feud, and now all of a sudden it changes everything. Now, like, there's a lot going on.
We were just talking about that earlier, like with the Mets clearing the benches when the pitcher hit the other guy in the head with the ball.
Exactly.
Who was that?
It was the Mets game. The pitcher threw the ball and hit the guy in the helmet.
Okay.
The guy that was at the bat, and both benches cleared.
What team was it?
I think it was the Mets Angels.
Okay.
I think it was Angels.
But
we have to definitely check that out. But that changes everything.
Right. And then like the accident that happened over the weekend over there with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
With the ropes. You never know.
And like MB and then Toronto, and everybody's trying to hurt each other.
Exactly.
Welcome to Philadelphia.
Like now it's like, what's going on? Like now people are more intrigued in it. You know, everyone loves a series, but everyone loves a series where two teams despise each other for something that happened throughout the season or something that happened. Like that's going to change everything. The views on Philly and Toronto are going to skyrocket now because of what happened with Embiid.
Yeah, and
skyrocket. People are invested.
Oh, yeah. Even if it goes back to stuff like the Von Erichs and the Freebirds
story.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't a story. People in Texas literally.
Oh, I know
followed
that.
The Von Erichs.
I said it was a good story.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. But that wasn't a story. A lot of things now are all storyline.
Yeah, people. Yeah,
right. That was like there's like fans, Toronto and
there's Sixers. Fans out there still think wrestling
is real.
Right.
It's like, oh, like I don't like that guy. I want to beat him up. Like one show we went to, and the guy started hitting the cane against
Oh yeah, no, that's a whole other story. We're not going there.
Yeah, that was crazy. A fan was using
last night. I got so much heat that a kid literally dragged me from ringside where I was sitting back to the ring. Oh. He was like, "You gonna get in this ring?"
Oh, really?
Like that was crazy. Like, wow. And that's my point. That it was a random matchup in a triple threat.
Yeah.
But it became like now there's a story that's gonna be told. You know, it changes everything. Sometimes random matchups just gotta happen.
You were just talking about that. You got dragged from that fan. That same fan was going after Darius Carter last night. A lot last night. Like,
was it the little black kid?
No, I think it was that little black kid. But also,
I heard that he threw chips at
Brandon Kirk.
Brandon Kirk.
Cheetos.
It was Cheetos. But and Brandon Kirk ate the Cheetos that he threw at him.
But there was a kid somebody in a gray shirt was getting right in front of Darius.
Oh,
Carter's
I know who
face.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was sitting next to the little kid.
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy.
Wrestling.
That's another testament to taking your time, because if you didn't take your time, stuff like that wouldn't organically happen. Like, organic stuff happening organically is more fun than stuff happening planned.
Here's a question, like a fan question, what I always bring up. Have you had any fans that gave weird gifts or made you in a video game or?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I've been made in a video game once. Clearly I'm not that popular yet to get like multiple video game appearances, you know, but I would love to have fans make my character in video games and do other things. But yeah, the weirdest, I mean, I don't even want to call it weird because it was pretty awesome to me.
Yeah.
You know, but not a lot of people, it's weird because I guess not a lot of people would get it sent to them, but I got a whole box of Reese's Pieces sent to me one day.
Wow.
I mean, I'd be okay with that.
That would kill me.
Like, it's weird because, you know, who just randomly sends like a case of candy to a wrestler? Like, you know, that's not not necessarily normal, but I loved it. I thought that it was dope. I was like, oh, someone sent me a box of Reese's. This is crazy.
As long as they're not laced, we're fine.
Yeah, they were. They were totally closed. It was the Reese's pieces in a bag. It was awesome. I kept the box. I ate all the Reese's and kept the box.
That was kind of cool. Did you find out who the fan was?
Yeah, great guy. Like, I'm just happy that fans are nice enough to do those type of things. Like, yeah. We're living in an era where fans are just so appreciative of the wrestlers and wrestling that they're just willing to make your day better by any means necessary. I love fans.
Yeah, we had a guy give us a PWI 500.
He knows Fazio. Trust me. He knows Fazio.
He knows. I'm looking at his social media. Yeah. He knows.
Yeah, he gave us the PWI 500. I'm like,
okay.
Okay, what's this for? But it was cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So you mentioned, we were mentioning about, you know, being created on the video game and all. And I'm looking at your social media, and obviously you're a big gamer and all that. And I'm sure you're aware of WWE 2K22, which is basically a new game out there. Everybody creates wrestlers. I've seen people create, like, indie wrestlers, like...
Violence.
Robbie Radke.
Yep.
Riley Shepard.
Robbie Radke.
Yeah. So, how would you... I mean, if you ever were playing that game and you saw yourself on there, how would you feel seeing, you know, yourself on that as being a wrestler being downloaded? And also, do you think that, you know, guys being created on that game will give them more of terminology, being seen more out there,
getting over?
Exactly.
I'll answer that second question first. 100%. I think that the more media that goes out and the more content that goes out is the better that it's going to be for your personal business and your image. So yeah, definitely think that getting yourself in a video game, even if it's a created character and someone creates your character, is definitely going to give you, it's going to give you a boost for sure. But I'd mark out. Look, I'm a wrestling fan, bro. I love wrestling. I watch so much wrestling. I go to so many wrestling shows. I don't care. I'm not one of those wrestlers that are like, I'm not going to wear that wrestling shirt out in public. I don't care. I go to the gym in Raw shirts. I don't care. Like, I go out in AEW shirts all the time. Like, I love wrestling so much that, yeah, I would mark. If I played a game and all of a sudden I noticed that I'm a playable character, I would drop the controller, hop on Twitter, and be like, what the hell's going on? Marking out.
Like, if I've worked your match or if I worked any company that worked for, I have the shirt. Like, I have, like, DB's wearing the same shirt right now. I have Killian McMurphy's shirt. I got Daniel Alexander's new shirt last night.
Ooh.
Like, any company that I've worked for, I have the shirt here, and I will wear the shirt, and I will support it. Brian's wearing the GWP hat right now. Like, any merch, I will walk up, hey, what do you got? I still have merch from guys like Corey Castle from when he first started. It's all up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads into my next question of geek out moment. DB had one of these a couple weeks ago when we were at Icons, and you saw the Barbarian and Warlord walk by you.
This was a couple more months ago.
It was like December, right?
Yes, yeah. It was December. Yes.
But it was cool to see that family, because half that Icons was the Anoa'i family, and it was still really cool.
It was kind of cool seeing Fatu.
And having a nice conversation with Samu was really awesome.
Yeah, I got the head shrinker, saw him autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're friends with Samu's son, so. Cool. So that leads into my question of geek out moment. Have you ever had one of these? I know I've had numerous ones.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I'm a fan, you know, so, and I started as a fan, like a huge fan, like, I say all the time on podcasts that I wasn't into wrestling at a young age because it wasn't introduced to me yet. But the first match that was introduced to me was the first ever Elimination Chamber match. That was when I first started watching wrestling. And then I had to go back and watch old wrestling. And, you know, I watched old tapes and everything. And anytime when I was young, like the first time I got invited to like Access, like I went to WrestleMania Access with a friend, I was geeking out. I was going everywhere to talk to every wrestler, losing my mind, having a wonderful time. But this isn't involved wrestling, but I guess the one time I really, really geeked out was meeting the Impractical Jokers at WrestleMania. That was pretty crazy. I had a loss for words. I was like, oh.
So I did have a geek out moment, but it wasn't a wrestling related geek out moment. So like I said, I work for the Phillies, and the 2019 to 2009 team came to the dugout because I worked down in the field area, and I'm sitting there, and Shane Victorino, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard are all just standing there, and I walk by, shake hands, and have a nice little conversation, and I'm like, wow, that was cool. That was one of my geek out moments, non-wrestling related. My son had one, last year's Icons? With Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
He's sitting there, my son's playing in the video games, and Billy looks at me and goes, you're just gonna sit there and waste space all day? Without fail, my son looks up and goes, yep, and goes right back to the video game.
I actually have a wrestling one. I thought about it, and it was at MLW. It was the first time that I got invited to do crew for MLW, that they let me be ring bell. That was a very awesome experience. Thank you so much, MLW, for that experience. I can't wait to come back and continue to work with you guys if you come back to Philly. But
2 weeks, we'll be back in Philly.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be in Philly. I walked into the locker room, and I was helping out. I was talking to some wrestlers and helping out, and Tajiri walks in, and we have a bow moment where I bow to Jahir, he bows back. And I left that locker room, went downstairs, and I was just like, holy fuck, I just got bowed to by Tajiri. Holy shit.
That is awesome.
What the fuck is happening? Like, holy crap. Like, I kind of lost my mind for a little bit, and then I took a breather, and I was like, all right, back to business. I got to get back to working hard.
So I remember.
Set up this ring, get everything set up. I was losing my mind bowing to Jahir when he bowed back. That was that sign of respect, and that sign of peace. And I love Japanese culture as well, and Asian culture.
Yes.
So that really meant it just hit different. Like, he didn't even say a word. Like, we didn't say hello. Like, it was literally just a bow of respect, and that meant the world to me.
That's pretty awesome. I remember, I don't remember which one it was. I think it may have been CyberSlam 2000. I'm standing there talking to Carino, and Dusty walks up to me.
Okay,
and,
we heard the story.
Yeah. And Dusty walks up, my jaw just drops, and I'm like, I'll go over here. Used to work over your match. See you. Steve's like, I'll see you in the back.
Meeting Bret Hart. I geeked out for that one.
Because
I mean, you geeked out when he geeked out for you, almost putting a tear in his eye when he saw that.
Yeah, Bret Hart geeked out for what I did to his book. So I got his book autographed, framed it pink and black. Black frame, pink inside. And it's like my favorite thing in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you go into his house, it's like when you go to Ellis Island and it's that book.
It's open.
That's how he's got it framed. It's exactly like that. Awesome. It's on a podium and everything.
Is that on the podium?
I would do the same thing. I get it.
I have it. I have, which this will lead into that question. So,
but hold up. David Arquette was a geek out moment too.
That's how this started.
The Dave movement.
So the whole Dave picture that you see us do came from David Arquette because we were at House of Hardcore one night and it was him and a guy named Riot City Bubba and Tommy.
Yeah.
And that was the night that fan got kicked out by Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah.
I remember that night. So we're sitting there and there's like six Daves with us and David Arquette goes, how many Daves are with you? I'm like, five, six? He's like, we need a Dave picture where we all make the D symbol with our hand. I'm like, okay, we got maybe $100 worth of pictures with David Arquette, and he didn't charge for one of them.
That's awesome.
It was my idea to get the Dave picture together. But,
right, but it was his idea to do the symbol.
So, like, when we see you again, we need to do a Dave picture.
Yeah.
Dave doesn't do it. Yeah.
I'm repping too much. I'm sorry. But
I got a geek out moment. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh.
He was at a mall near Jersey and...
Asbury Park?
No. It's actually South Jersey.
Oh.
We were standing outside and my niece at the time has McDonald's french fries in her hand and she starts walking away from us. And we're like, what is she doing? And she's walking towards Bam Bam Bigelow. And we're like, oh my God. And she walks right up to him, hands him a fry, takes the fry and says, thank you, little girl. And he eats the fry and we walked right over to her to grab her.
So she did the Coke spot, the Coke commercial with Bret Hart.
So when we were in line to get our autograph signed, he recognized her and she said, that's the girl of the fries. And we're like, yeah. So that was a cool moment to see that.
See, the only thing that pictures my with Bam Bam Bigelow is Major Payne.
Major Payne is a classic, bro.
Great
movie. It was.
You want a wrestle? Sorry. We're hanging out at the Ring of Honor show up in the Northeast Armory. I'm just sitting there and Daniel sits next to me. I'm like, hey, Chris. He goes, hey, man, how you been? been? You were the ring announcer at PWF. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, how you been? Not bad, not bad. He's like, I'm in the shower. Good to see you, brother.
Okay.
That was cool.
One of our friends to the podcast, George, his mom she drove ECW wrestlers around.
And God rest?
Yes, God rest. She passed away a while back. She was really good friends to Terry Funk and a lot of other wrestlers.
Ron Simmons.
Yeah. So many. She drove people around. Her husband was a wrestler. And so she drove wrestlers around, and her and Terry always said daughter, dad. They always went back and forth together. And she went up there to visit him at one of the shows. And I met Terry and got his picture taken with him. And my friend was backing up. He's on crutches, broken foot. He backs up and he almost trips over this handicap lady. And I turned to Terry and I said, see, that's hardcore.
Wow. So we're talking about all these autographs and everything else and many, many things.
Geek out moments.
We're talking about geek out moments, which can also lead into a memorabilia moment.
Okay.
So I know I have memorabilia upstairs. I have autographs. I'm a huge horror guy. So I have a John Carpenter autograph upstairs. I have a Bruce Campbell autograph. And I also have an original 10 pounds of gold sitting up there on the top shelf.
Matt's like, where's my autograph at?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit upset with you.
Right. So do you have any memorabilia like that? I know we had Louis Dangerously on. Louis's got a whole basement flyer stuff.
Penguin stuff.
Sorry. Same state.
Yeah, I do have some. Most of it is not wrestling, to be honest. I have a lot of basketball memorabilia, like Steph Curry signed jerseys. Carmelo Anthony signed stuff. I have a full signed basketball of the entire 2000. And I think it's 15 men's basketball Olympic team. I have that.
Oh, my gosh. Like just,
that's money right there.
I have a lot of really fun memorabilia for sports. But one thing I do have for wrestling, I have a few things for wrestling. I have a signed World Heavyweight Championship signed by Jeff Jarrett, Dolph Ziggler. I remember Big E signed it as well.
Nice.
And there's a few. I have a few, but my favorite, and it's more recent, and it's definitely my favorite thing that I have in my collection, and it is number 55 of 500 is a giant plaque of Roman Reigns' first day as world champion, as universal champion.
Oh my gosh.
And it's him and Paul Heyman both signed it, and it's Roman holding up the belt for the first time, and he has not put that belt down since. So it is definitely my favorite thing that I have in my collection right
now.
Wow,
that's pretty cool, yeah.
I have
it. It's still ongoing. Like, it's crazy, basically. So it's him spearing the Fiend and spearing, no, he hit the Fiend in the ball. And then he speared Braun Strowman, and that's the then he has, so it's like three pictures in one, a giant plaque, and on the last one is him holding the belt up with Paul Heyman by his side for the first time. Like that's something that means a lot to me. I love that. That was a great gift by one of my friends, Richard. We call him Rich Lethal because he looks just like Jay Lethal.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
That's funny.
I'm a big Jay Lethal fan.
Speaking of, won't he be at Icons this year? This coming up?
I don't know.
Yeah. One day I want to put them both in the same room. I think that a couple of times. Oh, there was one time we went to this convention called Too Many Games out in PA.
Okay.
And who was there? Well, there was a booth for Retromania.
Okay.
And someone sent Jay Lethal a picture of him, and Jay Lethal was losing his shit. So I want to. I really want to get those two in a room together one day and just lose my shit.
No, I'm sorry, Scorpio Sky. That's gonna be there, not Jay Lethal.
Okay, I do have a story about baseball. So I was a lot younger. The movie Sandlot wasn't out yet, but I was younger, and I was looking for a baseball, and I remember my dad had a baseball in his room. So I took it out of his drawer. Had all these autographs from the Wiz Kids, and my dad he still comes to me and he's like, you ruined my ball. Yeah, I screwed up. I didn't know who these people were.
Ladies and gentlemen, you fucked up chant right there.
I was like 10 years old. I know. I can't blame you,
but damn.
Yeah, and then the movie Sandlot came out. He did it to Babe Ruth, so.
I actually worked the 20th anniversary game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the one at Citizens Bank Park where they were playing in the Wiffle Ball field.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I want to do Table of Five.
Table of Five.
Table of Five. So.
Okay, what is it?
So, you're the fifth person at the table. I am instead of Keenan.
Yeah. So you're the fifth person at the table. Four other people that will be at the table with you.
Correct. We were going to put, let's put a little spin to it. At the table, you had to put four other basketball players.
Basketball players.
Because he's a big basketball fan. Right. At your table for dinner, drinks, whatever.
So it's a non-wrestling table of five.
Yes.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So basketball. Not basket brawl. Basketball. I'm guessing Seth Curry was somewhere being there.
Yeah, I gotta put the chef in there for sure. But this is a pretty good question for me. I gotta put the chef in there. Carmelo Anthony's in there. Not two. All right, now it's getting a little tough. There's a few. I gotta put the young gun on the Knicks, RJ Barrett, in there.
Okay.
He's definitely one of my favorite players. And to keep it, since I mentioned two older players, to keep it young, I'm gonna mention Ja Morant.
Okay.
Ja Morant is probably the best basketball player out there right now. Like, I can't. Everything he does just confuses me. Like, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, Ja Morant. He's at the head of the table for me right now.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. See, for me, basketball growing up was like Magic and Michael and
Bird,
Jay, and Michael Rapaport, who now is an actor. Nobody realized Michael Rapaport was a basketball player. That was my era. Magic Johnson and Dr. J, and all those guys. And I forget, the short guy, Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, Muggsy.
Oh, yeah, Muggsy.
Yeah, Muggsy, you know? Muggsy was the original short one in basketball. Yeah. You know, everybody else was over 6-something.
Wasn't Muggsy, Spud Webb?
Yeah, he was tiny.
Yeah, Muggsy was like 5'8".
Yeah.
And then Spud, yeah. Spud was another short one, but Muggsy was the first one.
If I was putting a team together, I think I would have Iverson at the table.
He's Jordan. Short, too.
Oh, yeah, Michael Jordan, maybe Kobe. And
I mean, okay, hold on. I guess I'm a little bit confused about the table five. Is it like your favorite players?
It could be like any.
It could be anybody at the table, man.
Oh. I was just talking about my favorite guys. I didn't know we were talking about trying to build a super team out here.
I mean, they did that already. What was it, the 1994 men's basketball team for the 96?
And they did that in Bugs Bunny.
Right. What was it?
That's true.
It was
Space Jam. You gotta have Kevin Durant in there. LeBron James gotta be at the table.
Like, yeah.
We're going from table of 5 to table of 20.
Table of 50. Table of 50 guys.
Just set up the full buffet and we're going.
Too tough. Too many good players, man.
Oh, yeah.
Shaq. And I mean, yeah, I haven't even mentioned Shaq.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm so old that I remember when Shaq put out the rap album.
That's not.
Right?
Don't get me wrong. What about that movie Shazam?
That was bad. No, Blue Chips.
That was awful.
I like Blue Chips.
Shaq has some pretty funny movies, though. Okay. He's hilarious.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The rap group that Shaq was with were called the Fushnikins. They were actually pretty good. Old school rap.
Just not Shaq.
No.
That's it.
Right. Well, I mean, come on. That Deion Sanders put out an album, too, so...
Hey, Randy Savage has a rap album.
I mean, if you're paying for it, I'm not.
Right. Eddie Murphy. Come on.
Don Johnson.
Bruce Willis. We can keep going all night with this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Kevin Bacon.
I'd rather not.
Even the Bacon Brothers aren't that bad.
Yeah, they're good, yeah.
I mean, that's like, what's his name? Kiefer Sutherland. Him and his brother have got a band, too.
Johnny Depp.
I like L.A. Rat. Not L.A. Rats. His band. Because he can play.
Yeah. I mean... We're just naming groups.
Right. He covered one of your favorite songs, so... Yeah. And it wasn't that bad. Moving on.
Okay, let's move on. Do you have any pet peeves in the business?
Pet peeves?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. One of my biggest pet peeves, to be honest, and it's a ref one, is referees who do not pay attention to the hard cam, and they're just in the middle of it, and they just ruin the camera angle and everything. Like, that gets me tight, bro.
Like, I go out there, and the first thing I do, I go, and I tell the promoter, where's the hard cam? Because there's sometimes...
Yeah, you gotta know.
Right, there's sometimes workers go out there, and they're working the crowd, and I'm like, that's not where the hard cam is. Like, I'm raising hands and stuff like that. They're like, where's the hard cam? I'm like, turn with me. There's the hard cam. Now we do that.
Gotta pay attention to your camera angles, bro. Like,
and then
referees, wrestlers alike, everybody, you gotta pay attention to your camera angles.
I watched a referee, like, when the match was, it was a pin, and he was doing the count at his feet. That was horrible.
No.
You know know the ref. Trust me, I know you know the ref.
It was funny.
Spanky.
Yeah, Spanky.
Oh, dude, no. Oh, I hate that shit.
You know who I'm talking about.
As a fan, being out inside, I scream.
He's like, so what? The right person went over. I'm like, that's not the point.
I was like, dude, you're counting at his feet. I don't care.
I saw him at Icons, and he's like, where are you at tonight? I'm like, 1CW. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, now what, bitch?
He screwed up that one. Sean Carlson needed a ref, and he no-showed him.
Yeah, so he'll never know.
Yeah.
That's my spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got tons. One of my pet peeves is the rainbow close-up.
Oh, yeah, you and Mr. Grimm.
Yeah, I hate that.
Rainbow connection.
Yes, rainbow connection.
Let me think of another one. Another one that I really, another pet peeve that I really don't like as well is wrestlers whose intro music before they come out is like a minute. I hate that. Like, it depends on the wrestler. Like, it depends. If you're like, if you have an intro where the crowd is singing along to the whole thing and then you come out, like, that's an anticipation builder and everyone knows it. So, like, it's different. But, yeah, like, it's different. But even that's not a long one.
No.
Like, Jericho's intro is like 20 seconds, 25 seconds.
About that. Like, I
Sandman.
But a whole minute. I've seen a minute and
that's
a half.
Different story. Sandman's whole match is outside the ring.
Like, it depends, man. It really does depend on who you are. But when you're just a regular dude and you have an intro and no one, everyone's quiet during the whole thing and it takes a whole minute for you to come out, it's like, bro.
Yeah, I'll sit there.
Go the fuck through the curtain.
Right. I'll sit there at Gorilla and I'll wait for the cue. Wait. All right, go. That's not the cue. I'm like, yes, it is. Go to the ring now.
Yeah, like, go. Like, I understand it's not the cue, but then you shouldn't have such a super long queue.
Right.
Like unless it's going to mean something, that's another thing. Don't do things that don't mean anything. Unless it's going to mean something, don't do it. Don't ever do it at all. Why? If it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And all pet peeves when wrestlers don't pay attention to other people's matches and do the same finish.
We did a show for IWA Vintage in New Jersey, and the one match before the other match, the finish was a roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
I ran in the back. I'm like, change your finish now.
No, they did a roll-up.
Because it was a different lead-in, but it was still...
It's still a roll-up. A roll-up is a roll-up. It doesn't matter if that's a finish or not.
And bread is bread.
At that point, you have to blame everyone in the back because communication needs to be had. Let's just say this wasn't wrestling. Let's take wrestling completely out of it. This is what I like to do when I talk with friends. I'm trying to explain wrestling to them, especially friends that don't understand wrestling. Let's take wrestling completely out of it. Let's say that we're at a play or Broadway.
Yeah.
How can you have the first act not know what the second act is doing or not know what the third act is doing? Like, all acts need to be synchronized and know exactly what's going on, exactly what you're doing, exactly what's being said. Like, it all needs to be synchronized.
How did we get there?
The first match. Exactly. So you can't have the first match not know what's going on, the second match not know what the first match did, or the third match not know what the second match did. Like, you all need to know.
Yeah.
In order for the show to flow, everyone needs to know.
Oh, yeah. Like, me doing commentating for that show with Dave Adams, and I'm like, oh. Weeks later, and I said something to the promoter, and he got so pissed off. He's like, and his wife goes, oh, you didn't see that? And he goes, no, I have somebody for that. Watch it. It looks like he lost his job.
My whole thing with that show was let it go. Like, there was a wrestler on that show who kept dwelling on the same thing over and over again. And he kept trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm walking away. Let it go. And
move on.
And Dirtbag Dan was on that show with me, and he's saying the same thing. I'm like, it's over. He's like, it's over with. It's done with now. We're done. Move it on. Just know better next time.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's another thing. Wrestling, you need to have short attention. But you need to have a short-term memory loss when you're a wrestler. You need to move on from things and get to the next show, get to the next match. Don't dwell on things. Don't get so worked up like that you can't comprehend. Like, you can't think logically. Like, when something goes wrong on a show, like, things are gonna go wrong. Nothing is perfect, you know. Not every show runs 100% smoothly, and that's proof of, you know, wrestling, basketball. It doesn't matter what it is. TV shows, things go wrong, and you need to learn as a professional to be a professional. And what professionals do is take their time, slow it down, think about it, and move on. And that's it. Just keep it rolling.
So I got a pet peeve as well too. My thing is, as I see wrestlers going up to the cameras and grabbing the cameraman or grabbing the cameras. That's to me, you don't do that. Like, leave the equipment alone.
Not unless it means something. Unless it means something. Like, if it's for a specific thing and it's going to mean something and this is going to transfer to next week, you know, or next month, you know, something with the cameraman. Like, if this is going to be an angle, then do it. But if you're just doing it to do it because you saw The Rock do it once or whatever, then you're not really making anything make sense.
Exactly.
Okay, my whole thing is I love pranks and ribs.
I mean, what kind of rib is it? Is it barbecue? Is it... Oh, that rib. Never mind. Sorry.
I am a ribber. Red Dog gets it all the time when I see him.
I think he was there for that.
Yeah, he was. So, you know the Red Dog story about Rob Fury chopping at the trifecta show?
Oh, Jesus.
That was horrible. But, like, every time I see Red Dog now, I always bring it up to him, and I'm like, oh, you need to do a chop in your match so I can call it the Fury of Chops. And
then we'll sit there. If I'm reffing it, I'm like, oh, come on. He's got a little bit more fury behind that chop. Come on.
And then, call a running choke slam. Running choke slam.
The hell is running? That's like doing a battle royal and calling for a tackle drop down duck 3. I've seen it, but still. I did a battle royal one time, and I was reffing outside, and I hear them call the spot, and it was tackle. It was drop down, duck 3, body slam, and then go over. I'm like, you're really calling that spot in a battle royal? They're like, yep.
Word.
I'm like, in a battle royal. Okay.
So, do you have any pranks or ribs?
I don't necessarily want to call it a prank. There's nothing necessarily specific that comes to mind right now, but I do love being in battle royals with KTB.
Yeah.
He is absolute jokes. He has literally made me break character like twice and just bust out laughing. I it's so hard because he's so funny. Like, he's really a funny dude. I love Kyle.
Yeah, first biggest Kyle is. Oh, yeah.
He's absolute joke. So there was a recent battle royal we're in at. It was a Brawl for It All at UWA Elite. I actually won that Brawl for It All. But in the match at some point, Kyle just started, like, he got hung over the ropes. And he started getting choked. But he wasn't, like, coughing or anything. He was like, and I'm just in the corner dying. I just can't help it. Like, why is he selling like that? Like, it's Kyle is jokes. And when he gets to just not be super serious KTB, he just gets to just be dumb Kyle. It's just, you can tell him. It's just so funny. Shout out to KTB, man.
Smiley's another one like that.
Smiley, too. Yeah, I had a triple threat with the both of them. How do you think I felt? Right. That
whole match? Like, I'm reffing the four-way last night, and he's like, hot tag. I'm like, no, hot tag. You're in this match. He's like, what? I just got done wrestling. I'm like, okay. He's like, hot tag, dude. Elijah. I'm like, no, you're in this.
God. Yo, he's so funny. I love those type of matches, though, because it makes you realize how much fun you're having. Like, it makes it, like, when you're in a serious match, like, yeah, you're having fun, but, you know, you're taking it super seriously, like a job, you know?
Right.
But then when you're just having fun, it's like pizza party day at work. Like,
that's actually a pro wrestling organization now.
Yeah, I work with them. I love pizza party. Yeah, I love
them. Gotta get up there.
Shout out to Dan, Scotty, dude. Love them.
But, I mean,
Zeke and all those guys down there. They doing their thing.
Smiley kind of almost reminds me of a little bit like Delirious.
Oh, that's like Delirious 2.0.
Right. Like, he just gets out like, blah, 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 blah. Oh my God. Shout out to Delirious. I mean, he's done it. I've seen Delirious do it at Chikara, where he's trying to talk to the ref and he's like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. Yes. Captain Caveman. I just want to die laughing. Like, that has, like, it's just too good. It's just too funny.
That was Captain Caveman.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw him about 2 months ago, but because he's the trainer at what was Ring of Honor.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think right now. Smiley, when we were doing the whole Connect Four thing, he's trying to eat the Checkers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, you don't do that. No. No. No, you put it in the little slot right here. He's like, okay. You hear that noise?
One more little game.
One more game, and we're making it last because it's our famous game.
Well, wait a minute. But wait, there's more.
Yes,
there's more.
We will bring that back after
this.
That's
right. All right. Are you ready for the voice? Are you
ready for the voice?
Yeah, yes. I'm ready.
Go ahead. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the 5 questions of doom. So these are all non-wrestling related questions. There are 5 of them. And we start out with question number 1.
Favorite Disney live movie?
favorite Disney live movie? Oh, why?
Why? Why are you doing this to me, guys? What the fuck?
Just remember to say thank you.
You're welcome.
No. Well, yeah.
Can I say none? Like, is there...
Yeah, you can say none. I don't know that one, but okay.
I love animated series, and every single time they make a live adaption of it, they fuck it up.
So. Oh, okay, but we're still talking about not all Disney live movies. There is live movies like Parent Trap and stuff like that.
Right, and Pacifier, and I mean, National Treasure was a Disney movie.
Yeah,
That's true. National Treasure is a Disney movie.
Sorcerer's Apprentice for Disney. Anything Paramount's Disney,
I love
too.
National Treasure.
Yeah, I did too.
Hold on, you forgot the Billy's Greatest, Invincible.
Invincible. That is a Disney movie.
So we need
forgetting that some of these movies are Disney movies. But I'm going to go with National Treasure because that movie is, that series is dope.
Yeah, it is dope. And they're bringing it back for a TV series.
Are they really? But is Nick Cage in it?
No, stop bringing it back. Enough. No, let a classic be a classic.
I want to see his new movie.
Oh, the Nick Cage movie?
Yeah.
But I want to run around with Matt Vertigo all around Philadelphia. That'll be fun.
In gimmick.
That'd be fun.
And we can play Pokemon Go too if you want to.
I'm down. That sounds like a pretty crazy time.
We can film that and put that on YouTube too.
Yeah, I will.
We could.
Yeah.
Go do the food truck challenge around Philadelphia.
Food truck challenge. I can't do that. Good. It's all diabetes to me now.
Right.
Okay, question number two.
Question number two.
Oh my God.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this one?
Are you ready?
I don't think I could ever be ready, so let's just go for it.
Rabbit season or duck season?
Duck season.
Oh, gotta be rabbit season.
Duck season.
Rabbit season.
Rabbit season.
Duck season.
Rabbit season.
Ooh, I hate that weather. Sorry, yeah, I do. Sometimes I do like voiceovers and stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right.
Okay, are you ready for the next one?
Are you ready for question number three?
Oh, shit.
What is your favorite mobile game, like on your phone?
My favorite mobile game is COD Mobile.
I never heard of that one.
I love COD Mobile. It's Call of Duty. It's Call of Duty. You don't know COD, but it's dope because COD Mobile is like mixing. It's like, it feels like old COD, because you know new COD is like weird, it's kind of different, it doesn't really hit the same. It's like old COD with all the maps, like it has almost every single map of every COD game. Like, it's pretty crazy the effort that they put into COD Mobile that isn't the same effort being put into the COD games. Try COD Mobile. It's hard, but it's nostalgic. It's pretty dope. I love it.
I should check into it.
Yes, you should.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. Good game.
What are you, a horseman? Oh, question number four.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
All right, you want to go with question number four. All right.
Okay. Ready for this one?
Maybe.
Maybe is a good answer.
Okay, favorite Marvel villain.
Favorite Marvel villain.
This is a good one. This is a very good one. I gotta go with Ronan.
Okay.
What's yours, DB?
My favorite villain?
Yeah.
My favorite villain in Marvel. My gosh, I might not have one.
It's tough.
Wow,
it's
tough. It is. You want to mind real quick? And it's off the wall.
And
really
the reason why
one.
I didn't say Thanos is because I don't consider Thanos a villain.
No, he was like a, wow.
Like, he just had a really fucked up vision. Right. Like,
Brian, you got one?
He really wanted better for the world.
Yeah.
Like, for the universe. He just wanted better, but it was just a really fucked up plan.
Right.
But I don't consider him a villain. I just, anti-hero. I don't know what to call him. I don't even know what... he's in a class of his own. I don't know what to call him, but yeah, Ronan is a complete dick.
Okay. If I had to put one together, I like Kingpin for the Spider-Man series and everything else. Kingpin is badass, you know what I mean? Like, beat him up, he's still getting back up.
Right.
I had to say maybe Magneto. Magneto is a cool one.
Magneto's pretty dope.
Yeah, what about you, Brian?
Ultron.
Mm.
Ultron, oh.
Okay, that's a good answer.
That is a good one.
See, I'm an old school X-Men cartoon person, so Omnipotus.
Okay.
Nobody remembers Omnipotus? Yeah, he was one of my favorites.
Would it be rude if I asked a question?
Not at all. Please. All
right, cool. We're going to flip it to DC because I love this conversation. Right. I want to hear your favorite DC.
DC villain? Would be, what's his name? The Sun God from Superman 3. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay. I forgot his name too, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you're talking
about. The Sun God from Superman 3.
Yeah, the other Superman guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget his name, but he was good. But then if we're going that route, then you got it in the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor.
Gene Hackman.
I love it.
So my favorite villain, because I'm a big Batman fan, so it's always going to be Joker.
Which Joker?
Riddler.
No, just Joker. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then the Riddler. I'm a Batman fan. Mad Hatter.
Did you like the new movie?
No.
Matt, did you like the new movie?
A lot of classic Batman fans are not going to like this new movie, though.
I still go back to Michael Keaton, so that's just me.
I tell you this
right
now.
It's a good movie, but...
I liked Paul Dano in that movie. I thought he was was amazing as the Riddler. I thought everybody around, everybody that was around Patterson was great. I thought
my,
the story
my only
was
issue
good.
Was that he didn't glow. He didn't glitter.
Oh, shut up about the glitter.
I was going to say that.
One of my pet peeves, if I'm going to a movie, I don't want to hear anything about politics or anybody's views or anything. I want to watch a movie. And
or,
I hate
or people getting it on next to you while they're at the movies.
That was a different movie.
Oh, okay.
So I hated the part when Catwoman said white privilege. And I don't want... When I go to...
But even though she's pretty much half.
Yeah, but it's for movies or TV shows, I want to relax. I don't want to hear about politics or whatever. I want to watch TV. If you watch old school...
You want it to be an escape.
Yes.
Right.
And I don't want... I don't... So I gave the movie a 6.5. I thought the storyline, I thought Riddler had the whole concept of seven. All the movies that are like the fillers, like Silence of the Lambs kind of thing. The feel. You know what I mean? You got that feeling. I love that part. But it was too long. I hated the part when Batman and the people.
I thought it did that too much.
It went too long.
I thought it
hated the part when all the people out there and he's walking them out with the light. And I'm like, that is stupid. I hate that part. That was like one of the part. It's like when Batman, Superman's like, my mom's name is Martha. My mom's name is Martha. I hated that in Batman vs.
Yeah,
because
they were trying to say they were brothers or something like that.
Not brothers, but they got the same mom's names. I hated that part. It's like watching Step Brothers. We're best friends now. I hate that shit.
I'm on a boat.
That's why I gave the movie 6.5.
So, two things. One, the actor and the actor that played Riddler was also in the movie The Girl Next Door as Clit. Remember, he was the guy with the glasses, and he comes in and he said...
That was him, yeah.
He's the one who said, I'm the freaking tripod.
Yeah.
And my favorite villain, Darkseid.
Ah, I love Darkseid.
The one thing I love about Paul Dano, if you never saw Switch Army Men with him and Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, the one where Daniel Radcliffe's the dead guy and he's walking around on there. Okay,
that movie is freaking awesome. And they were awesome together. And
I will tell you this much. The one thing I did like about that Batman movie was Andy Serkis as Alfred.
Dude, everybody was around Batman were good.
Right. It's just, I don't understand why he didn't have glitter to him, so.
Because it's not Twilight. Gosh.
That was a very, very dark Batman
right.
movie. It's very, very, very
and
dark.
I mean, it was almost as like, who's that one? Who's the director that did the DC movie?
Well, I'm not going to direct me.
No, it was something version.
Oh, the Zack Snyder version.
The Zack Snyder version. It was almost as if Zack Snyder did that movie.
Oh, he did the long version because there was... deleted scenes that made more sense
right
in the movie than in the original film.
Like, I even watched the last 5 minutes of where they introduced Joker for Batman 2 coming up at the end. Even that took too long. It was a segment that should only been 3 minutes, and it was about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but...
yeah.
Right. But we're going to move on to question number 5.
So, what we were talking about, Batman or Superman?
I got to go with Batman, man. Superman's a bitch.
Yes.
I can't stand Superman, bro. He's a little bitch. Batman is a shit.
Batman is a shit.
Batman came from nothing. Batman is a shit, right. bro.
I mean, the only thing I did like about Superman was Smallville, where the last episode where he comes in and he's talking to Superman.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That Superman comes in the wheelchair and he tells him the whole story and everything else, and then that's how the series ended.
There's certain things about Superman I do like about Superman. Like, the Smallville series was good, but it
Lois and Clark.
It took too long. You know what I mean? Right. It's like,
I don't know, man. Superman, he's just really annoying, bro. He has too many things going on. I like Batman primarily because he's like always focused on like an objective. I don't know. I'm more in tune to Batman than I am Superman. It also got to do with villains too. Like my favorite DC villain is Bane. Mm. He broke Superman. He broke Batman's back.
Yeah.
Like always think like, yo, Bane really broke Batman's back. Like, this is crazy. I don't know. I love Batman.
And I mean, he went from playing one villain to playing another.
I could deal without.
Yeah. Superman. And I mean, the funny thing is the guy who played Bane in Dark Knight.
Tom Hardy
is now playing Venom.
Yeah.
So that's funny.
And he's going...
Yeah, that really is funny.
Yeah.
And they announced Venom 3. Venom 3. And then they announced Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. And then they said for Andrew Garfield 3.
Yeah. They're supposed to be in the Spider-Verse or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they all three of them meet up or something.
They already did that. But it's going to be their own movies, like finish up their series. So I'm hyped.
Like, like they're going to finish up the past series. So it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to happen after Far Away.
No.
I heard a rumor, I doubt it's going to happen, but I heard something about Michael Keaton playing Thomas Wayne.
I don't know.
Michael Keaton's playing Batman again. Right. It's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
In the Flash movie. But they want, they're talking about Batman Beyond having Michael Keaton play Bruce Wayne. Oh, guy.
You're getting older.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies and stuff, back, I'm going to backtrack to Marvel. I need another Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
It's coming out. That's three.
Actually, it will be out.
There we go. I'm just dying for more Guardians content.
And wait for it around Christmas time. You'll see Guardians of the Galaxy's Christmas special.
Is that going to be as bad as the Star Wars one?
I remember about talking about this Christmas special.
Yeah, it's already done. It's ready to be out there and like you're waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, I want to see Ms. Marvel, and I think that's going to be a great, great movie because
that is going to be a good movie.
TV show movie.
I can't wait to see the next Doctor Strange, man. That movie is going to change everything.
Yeah.
Not to get off subject, but wait, there's more. He never answered
the
question.
There is more.
There is more.
That's right. We got Carrie Way.
Right.
I know. I like Carrie Way. This was fun.
Yeah.
It's always fun. A good time.
We're not like every other podcast.
Nope. That's our tagline.
I love it.
Okay. What is all the right, last two? What was the two that you want the fans to figure out?
That's right. So my favorite match that I have been a part of all time, and it's more, it's less about the match and more about the meaning of this match. So, quick backstory. In 2013, I left wrestling.
Okay.
I told myself that I wasn't going to wrestle anymore, that I was done. But that was more of a personal, like, me being too young and thinking that I'm better than I really am and not listening and not, you know, respecting what people, you know, criticism that was said to me. You know, I was pretty young and rash and, like, old, F you. Like, I know what I'm doing. Kind of, you know, it was a weird time for me growing up. Now I'm grateful that I'm more mature and grown up, and I pay attention to things, I listen, I, you know, learn. But moving forward past that, 2013, I told myself that I was done wrestling, and I moved to Ohio and I started a new life, and I went to school out there, and for whatever reason wrestling followed me to Ohio. And at my school there was a wrestling show that was going on. I was kind of, honestly, I was trying to avoid it. I was telling myself, like, oh man, wrestling, here we go, let me try to avoid it. And, you know, I don't want to be a part of wrestling. I love being a fan, but I don't want to wrestle anymore. And I just, something just called me to go to the gymnasium that day. And I walked in, I saw the ring. It was the first time that I saw a real ring rope. And I'm touching the ring ropes, and someone goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh. And instinctively, I say, oh, I'm a wrestler. Instinctively. Like, you're a wrestler. Get in the ring. Let me see what you're doing. And, you know, so fast forward, I start getting booked for the company XWE in Ohio.
Okay.
And it was my very last match. I just was graduating college, and I decided that, you know, I wrestled there for 2 years, and I decided, you know, I'm ready to come back to New York and start taking this wrestling thing way more seriously, start really, really diving into what I want to do. That was 2015. And my last match in Ohio was against Ron Mathis, and he said, kid, we're going to go out there, and we're just going to call it and have the best match on this show. We went out there, and when I say it was definitely one of my best matches ever, it truly was. I took a top rope tombstone from him to close the match. Absolute crazy. Crowd went bonkers. And then they gave me an absolute epic send-off. I got on the mic, and, you know, a whole crowd that, you know, 2 years ago didn't give a damn about who I was or didn't really care was in tears that I was leaving. And that meant the world to me, and that made me feel extremely special. And I always appreciate that crowd and being in Ohio and learning about who I am. And it just changed everything for me. So it's more of a personal rather than like, oh, but you can go watch the match. If you go on YouTube and look up Mad Vertigo versus Ron Mathis, I have the whole match up there, including the epic send-off that I had. And I watch it every so often just to humble myself and bring myself back down to earth. Like, this is what wrestling is all about.
We're gonna put that
we're gonna put
that match up on our page. So on people
our
can watch
YouTube page.
Yeah. Not YouTube page, our
Well, I mean,
page
we
on
do
Facebook,
have a YouTube page.
But Facebook page. We're gonna take that match and throw it up there and see if people will watch it.
So not to alleviate from that.
I definitely suggest it. And follow Ron Mathis. Great wrestler. Great.
We know Ron very well.
We know Ron, yeah.
Ron's at H2O a lot.
Yeah, Ron is great. I miss the dude. I haven't seen him in so long. I would love to have a part two. If you're hearing, if you're listening, any bookers out there that want to do that, throw up Ron Mathis versus Mad Vertigo part two. That would be dope. But yeah, man, that match means the world to me. And it really really did change my life in a way.
That is awesome.
So it sounded like you had an Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko moment when they were leaving ECW.
100%. That was a huge moment. And it's going to stick with me forever. You know, no matter what. That's one thing I always tell myself is never forget where you came from. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I started in backyard wrestling and I moved my way up. And then I got knocked down and I got back up and I got knocked down and I got back up. And now I'm just super humble to who I was and who I am. And, you know, I just appreciate the journey. I'm here for the journey.
I'll tell you this right now. Like, when they called you out last night in the match, I marked out for you, dude. I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen him
for... So wait, I kept something from you?
Yeah, you did keep something from me.
All right.
But, like, it was an awesome surprise seeing you. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I heard you over the thing. He's like, oh my God, Matt Burning! Oh my God!
Yeah, I heard it. I was in the back.
I heard it too. But it's like, usually I get the run sheet like 2 weeks ago from Mike, and like you and the other two guys weren't on it, and I'm like, all right, we're gonna have fun, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it.
Yeah, I because you became a good friend, you know what I mean, ever since we did the basketball brawl thing and then the flip cup and the flip the bottle. And dude,
don't forget what's it called,
Trifecta
I
show.
Think it was Pro Wrestling After Dark is when I first met you guys.
Yeah
with the
and we were having a fun time back there watching some crazy shit.
Yeah, was it that one or was it the one with Kevin?
Cox? No, that's the one with Red Dog got the chops.
Oh, yeah. There was still no fury behind that chop. No.
Yeah, that was the one with the train, right?
Yeah.
The train was passing by and the stage set fell like early in the show.
Oh, gosh. Like, every time I see you, like, there's so many great people out there, and, like, it's how you present yourself to people. Like, Will Knox is an old person I love talking to.
Unless he tries to get you high.
Get you high.
So, we were at Icons, and Will's like, hey, I got cookies. You want one? Sure. Gives me a piece of his cookie. Now, mind you, I have to ref ACPW that night. And I see him at the show, and I hit him in his leg, and I go, you motherfucker. He goes, what? I'm like, I'm baked right now, bitch. He goes, why? I'm like, freaking cookie you gave me earlier.
That's why I never trust anyone that walks into me during a show, and it's like, you want a piece of this? Like, if you're not going to offer me the whole thing, why are you only going to give me a piece? Something's going to tell me, like, what the fuck is this piece going to do? What is this going to do, bro?
I'm not going to put names out there, but last night's show, there was one guy that was not wrestling, but pretty baked and out of it. I can look over and see him, and he was just like, dazed. Like,
no, he told me he was baking all day. He said he had lots of bread.
There were a few people at that show that was really baked.
So, like, I always tell everybody, and you already know this, but when you come onto our podcast, you become part of the family, and you are part of our family.
He's a big part of the family.
Yes, he is big and part of the family.
Appreciate you guys. Like I showed you the other day, I still rocking my 2300 hashtag family bracelet that I got, man.
It was on.
Yes.
That day.
Yes. That is so awesome.
I saw it during the match.
Be there, so it can't be planned, bro. Like, this is real. I haven't taken it off.
That is freaking awesome. And it means so much to me. Yeah, your wristband is showing in my drawer because I was in the hospital and all that stuff. But I need I need to get them back on again.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But on that note, is this the home spot?
This is not the home spot yet because he needs to give us the social media.
Oh, So social media and all that other type of stuff. What do you got?
Yeah, definitely. Follow me. I just started up TikTok, putting out some pretty funny, dumb content out there involving Halo games. I have food on there. I play guitar on there.
Wait, you play guitar?
Oh, I do.
We're going to have to jam one day because I play bass.
I'm definitely down, bro.
I'm down.
I'm a little rusty. I haven't played for a little while, but I just got my Epiphone SG fixed up, and I'm looking for a new acoustic. But yeah, bro, I definitely play guitar. I was in Battle of the Bands in high school. I played for years. I was in a band in high school. I have some old band footage that I'll sprinkle out on social media eventually, but I do have some old funny band footage. That's pretty cool. Yeah, bro, I was a total in high school. I was part of that emo gang, bro. Like, we all just listen to rock music, wore black every day, painted our nails. Like, that was me in high school.
Myself and Brian were the same thing. I still have my Pentair.
More common than you think.
Right, I still have my Pantera shirt from when I sold them in 94.
I still have my To Write Love on Her Arm shirt. Yeah, see, you don't even know what's going on.
Wow, right, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a lot, bro. I got a lot of old, really awesome rock shirts from original Hot Topic, not this new Hot Topic, original Hot Topic. You know the vibes if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yep. Trust me, I do.
Yeah.
When you walked in and it kind of looked, and it kind of reminded you of, I'm showing my age here, kind of reminded you of the shops when you went on South Street to hang out before.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like old Hot Topic was just so dark and like, yeah, cool. Metal. Like, it was just a cool place to be. Metal. Hell yeah, that's the word. It was so metal, dude.
It was metal.
I love old Hot Topic. It was dope.
You walked into Hot Topic and they were selling the kickwears, and then they were selling the Jenkos and the plaid pants with the suspenders and metal t-shirts.
I still get my toys in there,
so my little Funko Pops.
The Funko Pop deals at Hot Topic are pretty dope.
Right.
I'll give them that.
I mean, Box Lunch, but they're owned by the same people, so.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Follow me on TikTok, at Matt Vertigo. My Instagram is getting popular. Follow me on Instagram at Matt_Vertigo_Pro. Twitter is at Matt Vertigo. And then also my YouTube channel, Vertigo Speaks, where I will be uploading more content on there. Basically just being myself and giving advice, talking about games, talking about different things. I'm working on a video game. I'm a degree in video game design, so I'm trying to like work on a game, but it's tough doing it by yourself. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to do on that channel. But yeah, definitely hit me up. My DMs are always open.
I think him and Leroy would be fun together.
Oh my gosh.
What happened, bro?
You and Leroy. You know Leroy, Big Game Leroy?
Yeah, Big Game Leroy's a boy.
Him and Leroy would be good together. That'd be funny.
Yeah, we would be. That would be pretty dope.
So we're going to hit the ending of the show right about now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richard, and we'll see you in the ring. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a big thank you once again to Matt Vertigo for being on our show.
Thank you.
Of course, guys. Thank you. You guys are the best. I love being on this show. I love hashtag 2300 Wrestling Podcast. Let's get it.
Thank you. Hey, before we go, can I do one thing? So Matt Vertigo did his little thing, right? So remember that the 2300 Wrestling Podcast does have a YouTube channel now. And remember to like, share, and follow us on YouTube.
But wait.
Oh, but there's more. What else you got, Brian?
We also have a Facebook page.
There we go. And wait. We also have Twitter.
Yeah, we always have Twitter.
Right.
And Instagram.
But you can follow us on any social media outlet now. Like, share, and follow us. 2010 Wrestling Podcast. And thank you, Matt Vertigo.
Is there any more?
Yay.
Okay, can I stop it now?
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravics.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably in the world. Extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so you already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're going to experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here. You know, we're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
Okay.
What Brack said.
So, once again, you know, best school probably in the world. Definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy. And Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog, and he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax.
Or Brax.
You won't burn.